You and I back together again to wrap up a very busy week, Friday, June 25th, 2021, right here on Connecticut Today. We were joined in the 4 o'clock hour by two outstanding officers from the Stamford Police Department. They were named Stamford's Officers of the Year. And I also had some thoughts on stuff at the southern U.S. border that just doesn't make sense when it comes to the current White House and how they're dealing with immigration. A couple things. One thing I wanted to touch on today that, again, drives me nuts, and it probably drives you nuts, too, because, like, just about all of us, I mean, unless we draw our descendancy directly from Native Americans who were part of the Indian tribes here in the state, Mashantucket Pequots, the Mohegans, the Eastern Pequots, the Scaticokes, the Golden Hill Pagussets, unless you or I or we collectively can trace our lineage back there, we're all products of immigration, right? Of course we are. And that's a favorite trick of the left. Well, you know, your parents came here through immigration. Well, yeah, I'm not denying that. Or my grandparents or my great-grandparents. Nobody with a brain denies that. But that's what they will use to kind of, you know, muddy the waters when it comes to immigration. Now, you don't have to really do that because there's enough that they provide. Vice President Kamala Harris finally made a trip to the border today. Now, you know, there's been a controversy as to she's the border czar, apparently. There's been pushing by a lot of Republicans and even a few centrist to moderate Democrats, especially those from the South, saying, hey, if you're the border czar, like, is this in name only? Or are you actually going to try and do something? Well, the vice president went to Central America, I guess, or addressed some Central American leaders about 2-3 weeks ago. And her overall message, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, was please don't come or do not come or something like that. And again, the position of the Biden White House here is, well, we have to try and, do what we do. We can have to coax them not to come. We have to look for solutions as to why they're coming. Well, it's not difficult to see why they're coming. Poverty, crime, drugs, oftentimes repressionist governments. I mean, we know all that. Can we cure that with money? Geez, I don't know. How long have we tried that? But, man, between this and crime, and I mentioned crime a little while ago in the show, but between crime and just screwing up on the border. I mean, man, oh, man. Now, their goal when they came in to deal with the border was basically undo everything Trump did, even if it was working, like remain in Mexico to try and take burden off of the asylum sites, which were getting basically overrun, pushed mainly by the human traffickers, the coyotes, they call them, that charge people thousands of dollars to get people across the treacherous desert. So even if that was kind of working to cut off the supply of customers for the coyotes, the Biden folks said, no, it's got to end because it's got Trump's name on it. Trump, 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 orange man bad. So it's all got to end. Strip everything away. Whatever. So the vice president goes. She says, please don't come. It makes no difference. It literally makes no difference from what I'm seeing. Maybe a little drop off here and there, but the numbers are huge. So they say, listen, you got to come to the border to at least show you care. Well, she goes to the border. Now, she goes to El Paso. And El Paso is not really a bad spot. Again, El Paso, Texas is still a growing Texas city. And there have been vast improvements, from what I understand, to the area of El Paso that have cut down the amount of people crossing. Many critics, as here in the New York Post, point out, the trip was suddenly added to her schedule to avoid, yes, former President Trump is going to the border, but not there. He's going to the brutal part of the border. Now, the vice president declined to speak to the traveling press before boarding, though she offered a wave. Well, of course she does. She's disastrous when she speaks. If she's not on script, and again, don't call me and say this has nothing to do with race or anything like that. She's not good. I mean, you saw back in the debate, she literally came within about a half an inch of calling Joe Biden a racist, and now she's his VP. Lester Holt pushed her, Madam Vice President, when are you going to the border? She laughed. She's got a really bad crutch, a tick. I've worked on people with public speaking and addressing the media, and it's known now when she gets flustered by a question, she starts to laugh. Not good. Not good. Kamala Harris beginning her response and her remarks by noting that, quote, we are here today to address and talk about what's brought people to the U.S. border. And again, to continue to address the root causes which cause people to leave and often flee their own country. Well, see, this is how the Democrats handle immigration. They never talk about the lawlessness of some of it, not all of it. There are legitimate asylum claims. I'm not saying there aren't. But the asylum system is getting gamed. It can take years for an asylum case to be adjudicated. But apparently, she didn't go to the area that they're having the major border problems at. Now, she was welcome there. In fact, says here in this story, El Paso, which has fared slightly better than the Rio Grande Valley. That's the area that are having the big problem, the Rio Grande Valley. And apparently, I guess that's where Trump is going to go. But this is the thing. So when we come back, I want to play for you something that encapsulizes the sheer, what's the word? The sheer flipness, is that a word? The sheer casual attitude that at least one major party in D.C. has toward seriously dealing with immigration and stopping it. 203. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I just heard a member of Congress say one of the most sheerly asinine things I ever heard in my life, and I'm trying to figure out, and I've looked this over and over and over again, to see whether this is, whether this was like a put-on. Is this like an early SNL skit or something? But apparently it isn't. So earlier today, Texas Democratic Congresswoman Veronica Escobar welcomed Vice President Kamala Harris to the border. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, if a VP, a president or vice president comes to your area and you're a member of Congress, whatever, you want to meet them, that's usually, you know, what happens. It's standard protocol there, diplomatically and politically and otherwise. Well, listen to what she says. I'm just going to play this. Now, once again, this is Veronica Escobar. She is the Democratic Congresswoman from El Paso, and she is welcoming the vice president to El Paso. Now, listen closely to what she says. I'm just going to play it.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to El Paso. Welcome to my community, to the new Ellis Island, to the capital of the border.
What? The new Ellis Island? Nah, the new Ellis, did a sitting member of Congress actually compare a southern border crossing with South America and Mexico to Ellis Island?
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to El Paso. Welcome to my community, to the new Ellis Island, to the capital of the border.
Uh-huh. So there you go. So for a lot of us whose relatives came in through Ellis Island and who came here lawfully and legally without paying off cartels, without relying on human traffickers, whatever, apparently, and I'm not saying this, this is a Democratic House member saying this, Democratic Rep. Veronica Escobar says, welcome to America.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to El Paso. Welcome to my community, to the new Ellis Island, to the capital of the border.
Capital of the border. How about that, huh? That works well, doesn't it? And they wonder. And I just had to play this for you because I read the story this morning and it directed me to this news clip. And there was a lot of live news coverage of the vice president visiting the border. And I said, she didn't just say that, did she? Welcome to the capital of the border, the new Ellis Island. Folks, they can't get out of their way on the border issue. They can't get out of their way. And B, I don't think they want to. Why would you say that if you weren't pandering? No, honestly. I mean, honestly, she has a knowledge of Ellis Island. What she said there, is it, doesn't that, maybe I'm reading this wrong, doesn't that come over as a little insulting? That we, which, and Ellis Island now being a museum, I've never been there, I do have to get there in one of these years, take the boat out there, but come on. And then I'm going to read a million stories tonight, you know, it'll be in The Hill and Politico and, you know, the Huffington Post and all this, Democrats worried, a border issue could hurt them in the midterms. Gee, you think? Thanks, Einstein. All right, let's take a few minutes now to talk to and about some of Fairfield County's finest. Joining us right now, dual winners from the Stanford Police Association's Officers of the Year competition, veteran officers Lewis Birdie and David O'Mara joined us. They have been named the 2020, as I mentioned, Officers of the Year by the Stanford Police Association. David and Lewis, Paul here at WICC. How are you? How you doing?
Doing great, Paul. Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
All right, David, let's start.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Hey, that's good to hear you guys. David, let's start with you. What does this mean, David? And then we'll go to Lewis. David, Officer of the Year from the Stanford Police Association. You're both veteran officers, but David, let's start with you. How does that make you feel?
Oh, Paul, I'm honored. I'm honored with that our peers that actually select us for this award. Stanford Police Department, we have a lot of great officers here. And it's just such an honor to be, you know, named along next to Lou as Officer of the Year here.
Lou, what are your thoughts on that? Same as David, how do you feel?
Couldn't agree more with Dave. It's an honor and a privilege to be here and then to be honored with such a prestigious award. It's voted on by a bunch of the past winners who have also been honored with this award. So to be held in such high regard by such distinguished and decorated cops, you couldn't feel better.
You guys are both 10-year veterans of the force. David, let's start with you. In the 10 years that you and Lou have been on the force here in and about Stanford, take me through a little of your thinking from, you know, the first time you're a rookie cop, you've undergone all the training, and you're out on your first patrol to now 10 years later where you're doing detective and investigative work. What's that ride been like for you?
Oh, it's been up and down, Paul, up and down. I mean, I came on as a 34-year-old rookie, I guess you could say, you know, going up to an academy process where it was pretty stingent and, you know, it was a lot different than the lifestyle I was living prior to that. You know, I was working in the private sector and everything like that. And, yeah, when I first got on the road, learning the ropes, dealing with the public, figuring out the rules and regulations and laws, and just moving along. A lot of bumps in the road, you know, a lot of learning curves, everything like that. But I've had some great FTOs. I had some great officers around me that helped me out. And now working in the Major Crimes Bureau here with Stanford, and I have Lou, my other partner, Damian Rosa, and our Sergeant Boger. It's been great, you know. It's just been great to learn so much and be able to succeed and do a lot for the city of Stanford.
Lou, what about you? Your 10 years or so on the force, what's it been like since you started and leading up to today?
To say it's been gratifying, it's an understatement, Paul. It's been a great experience. I have really no complaints whatsoever. It truly is. The saying is, you know, this is the greatest show on earth. You have a front row seat to real life and all the experiences, good and bad. You know, it's made me a better cop. It's made me a better person going through. And I certainly wouldn't be able to accomplish the things that I've accomplished here in this office without all those learning experiences. So it's been wonderful. And I'm hoping the next 10 years is just as good as the first 10 years.
All right, guys, hang on. We'll be right back with you. Going to do a quick break. Officers David O'Mara and Louis Birdie, the co-officers of the year for 2020, named by the Stanford Police Association. Okay, guys, hang in. We'll be right back with you first. Traffic and weather together right here on WICC. And we continue a few more minutes here with officers David O'Mara and Louis Birdie, recently named the co-officers of the year for last year, 2020, crux of the pandemic year by the Stanford Police Association. Back with David and Lewis. Hey, David, I'll ask Lewis this too as well, but David, how tough was it being a cop in a city like Stanford during the pandemic where, you know, I would imagine there are certain calls you guys go on to certain investigations where it'd be nice to social distance, but that's not always as easy as it sounds. David, what do you think on that?
Yeah, obviously, Paul, 2020 was a, you know, crazy year for everybody, you know, in society. And, yeah, dealing with the calls and COVID and everything like that and the fear of, you know, getting sick and bringing that sickness home to your families was always on our minds. Everything going on here, you know, we still crimes going on, people wearing masks. So identifying these suspects was a lot harder. And even trying to speak to witnesses and people during this time last year was hard because no one wanted to come out of their house and everybody was so afraid of, you know, getting infected and getting sick. So, yeah, it was a very tough year.
Lewis, as you know, something David just said, yeah, I mean, you guys are driving along or you're walking up and down the street and you're looking at video, whatever. And if everybody has masks on or gaiters, I can imagine how tough that must have made your job, at least in some cases.
100%, Paul. It was one of those rare anomalies in an anomaly of a year, you know, where, you know, traditionally people on the street, you see, you know, suspects or someone approaching a bank or a jewelry store or something like that wearing a mask. Right away, you're calling in, hey, that looks suspicious, right? Not this year. Everybody had masks on, right? So
right.
You know, we're kind of getting there after the punch because that, you know, just became the normal way of life, you know, for a long time. So took a lot of, you know, a little abstract thinking, a little thinking outside the box a little bit and really relying on technology and stuff to try to break through some of those barriers we had with the lack of interpersonal communication with people and some of these you know, different things that were going on due to the pandemic.
Now, according to what I see here, and we're talking to Stanford Police Officers David O'Mara and Louis Birdie, both the Officers of the Year from the Stanford Police Association. Let's see, David, apparently from what I see here, you've been cited for your work in going through data, video surveillance data and analysis. Talk a little about that to the listeners here. What does that often entail? I would imagine you're spending hours and hours looking for just that one piece of evidence that may break a case for you.
Yeah, Paul. So at first, when I first got into this unit, Lou and Damien and Sergeant Boger were already in it. So I went out there kind of fresh, not knowing what I was looking for. And these guys explained to me what timestamps meant and how the difference in timestamps for different cameras. So I wasn't too good at it at first and made a lot of mistakes at first. But, you know, my partners and my sergeant were good enough to show me the right way. Yeah, I would spend, you know, a couple hours at a time looking through video and everything like that, looking for that just, you know, that distinguished sneaker, that distinguished colored hat, maybe the mask had a emblem on it, something like that that could help us, you know, give us a good track into locating these suspects. So, yeah, finding the different angles, and it's great. Today in society, everybody has cameras, and every city has cameras. So, I mean, crime is very detectable from using this method.
I mean, can you imagine, David, you know, years ago, and I read a lot of political stories, crime stories, stuff like that, investigative stuff. You imagine trying to do what you do, David, without all this, not just from bystanders, but surveillance video and cameras. I mean, it's amazing. Some of the cases got solved. And can you imagine doing your job today, you know, without it? I mean, it would be a daunting task.
Paul, when I saw a documentary recently on David Berkowitz down in the Bronx, and it was amazing what those guys could do. Even like those guys, true heroes, the criminal and the police work those guys did back then in the 80s and 90s is really remarkable. It really is.
Lewis, your forte says here, digital and phone data, carrier records, social media search warrants. So again, you know, Lou, your work here with the Stanford PD is right cozy up in our world of social media and cell phone data. And I guess, Lou, you must say thank God sometimes that a lot of criminals don't know about location tracking or how to turn it off on their cell phones, right?
Well, even when they turn it off, Paul, there's always a way to wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Believe me, if you know what's going on. We're wrapped up in our phones, and I mean, to say that everyone's lives are totally entrenched in their phones is an understatement. So, I mean, just having the knowledge and the ability to navigate through, you know, cell phone data and things like that, it's huge, and especially in terms of tracking fugitives or trying to pinpoint locations of suspects, you know, during and after the commission of crimes. It just opens up a world of evidence and springboard you in your investigation in ways that people can't even understand at this point.
Let me ask,
we're still working through.
Let me ask both of you in the couple of minutes we have left here. David, I'll start with you. You know, last year was a tough year. You probably heard on the news it was a sentencing today in the George Floyd case of the former officer Derek Chauvin. David, let me start with you. What do you want to tell people? I mean, people know it anyway, but we went through that year, and I think in a lot of ways, David, there was tension, but there's also kind of a new appreciation, I think, for the good cops out there like you and Lewis. What would you tell people about policing and maybe people who may be thinking about doing it or maybe have sons or daughters thinking about it? Dave, what would you say?
Yeah, Paul, like every profession, Paul, there's bad apples. Like, there really is. Like, and incidents that happen out in Minneapolis and everything like that, I mean, that's no true representation of what police departments are. You know, there's so many hardworking men and women in law enforcement that go out every day and do their job and do a great job and protect their cities and their communities. And those interested in law enforcement, they should go for it. If this is the right career path and, you know, you believe you could be a great asset to your community, you should go out there and do it. I mean, this is a great job. And the men and women that you work with every day are great people. I mean, a few incidents that occurred out that's happened out in the world, and that's unfortunate. But, I mean, most of the men and women that we work with every day are great, great people.
Lou, your thoughts on that? Lou, what do you think?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Dave. I mean, none of the negative press or you know, the unfortunate circumstances that happened in the past year, it hasn't deterred Dave and I from going out there, you know, meeting with people, interacting with people, and just doing our job. You know, people who do this job and like this job and are good at their job, they fight through all that stuff. You know, we know a lot of people who support us, and we fall back on that. And, you know, without that support, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like I said, we're motivated to continue to do good work and do it the right way and the way, you know, the community wants us to do it. And, you know, it's part of it speaks to why, you know, we're recipients of this award for this past year, because, you know, it's what we believe in and it's what we try to continue to do.
Fabulous. Okay, final questions. Dave, I'll go back to you. Dave, be honest with me now. Who pays for lunch more, you or Lou?
Paul, we split it three ways all the time, but, you know, I tried to call in sick the days that I'm supposed to pay, so.
Nice.
You know, don't let them know that, Paul. I hope I'm not on the radio
okay.
Live, you know?
Okay, yeah. And Lou, now I'll go for you for this one. Who's the better driver, you or Dave?
Who's the better driver? Yeah. I don't know. Ask the parking post in our garage. I mean, when Dave's backing up, and they'll probably answer that question better.
Wait. You, is there some forensic evidence there that I could look for to solve that one? What do you think?
Well, I told you, I'm the cell phone guy. I don't do physical stuff on the thing, so you have to talk to someone else about that.
All right. Two veteran police officers, Stanford Police Association's Officers of the Year, Officers Lewis Birdy and David O'Mara. Guys, thanks. Congratulations. And don't be a stranger. We're here anytime for you with the association. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
Lot, Paul.
Dave, thank you. We appreciate it. David O'Mara, Lewis Birdy. All right, there you go. The Stanford Police Association's Officers of the Year. A couple of 10-year veterans. All right.